International LGBT Radio Magazine. This week, Wenzel Jones, Tanya Kane Perry, Gene Pembleton, produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns, Janet Mason, and Heather Kitchen contributed program material, with thanks as always to Steve Pride. John Williams and Triumph performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This way out thanks to Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our listeners, supporters, for making this show possible. Check out the latest program information, pics of the crew, and a lot more at thiswayout.org. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on KGHE Alma, Washington, Radio Reverb, Brighton, England, WRSU, New Brunswick, New Jersey, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.
He's so enthusiastic, don't you think? I love that intro. Yes, and this community radio station would be WMPG 90.9 FM, WMPG.org on the worldwide whatchamacallit. And this is Tuesday Night Talk Radio Club. I am Chris White, and WMPG is on the air thanks to the generous support of our listeners and with help from the Free Press, USM's weekly community newspaper. The Free Press provides coverage of the latest campus news from administration to arts and entertainment. Sales, staff writing, design, and photography positions are open. More information is available at 780-4084 extension 1 or freepress@usm.maine.edu. Opportunities are abundant and include training. Opportunities are abundant and include training here at WMPG as well. We're always eagerly looking forward to finding new people who are interested in doing radio, like you, Justin. You just mentioned you might want to get trained. Why not? Come on.
Definitely.
Do it. And Justin Levesque is my guest this evening. Iceland X207. By 207?
That's
do you,
right.
Do you say X or by?
Iceland by 207, yeah.
Iceland by 207, yes. And you were on the show, it was about 6 months, 9 months, a while back.
Yeah.
A while back. And you gave us the basics, which is they put you in a cargo container and shipped you to Iceland, or something more or less like that,
yeah.
Right?
Back in September, I sailed on an Eimskip container ship from Portland, Maine to Reykjavik. It was a 9-day journey, and I made a podcast and made photos of the crew and machinery of the ship, but tried to depict what life was like there. And so since that experience, I've been working to put together an exhibition that will be happening this fall.
And, you know, you did a lot of that online as well, right? You put a lot of the stuff up on Facebook as it was happening.
Yeah, I tried to have a kind of integrative social media approach just so that some of that information was going out there as it was happening. But the coolest part, I thought, was I had like a vessel tracker. So you could actually follow the ship online to see each day where I was in the North Atlantic.
And that just sounds like it must have been fascinating. It's funny. I found myself thinking, I'm an old geezer. You're a young dude. I mean, I'm an old geezer. And when I was a young dude, it was the tail end of the period where normal people couldn't afford to get in a plane to go across the Atlantic. You'd book passage, mm-hmm. you know. And so there were still ocean liners going back and forth, and you'd get something in steerage because it's all you could afford, and that's how you would... you would make the crossing. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting now with all of this cargo container, you know, the way the economy has become globalized, these cargo ships are back and forth and back and forth and back and forth.
Well, I think they're more important than people realize. I think that as we've, you know, transitioned to mostly flying to get from one point to another point, you know, we've sort of begun to forget the sea because we fly over it. But, you know, what's interesting, I think, is that because almost looking back towards this technology, if you will, or this mode of transportation is allowing us, I think, especially here in Maine, to look forward to the future.
Yeah.
We almost have to sort of take that look back to make progress in this way. And, you know, Aimskip coming to the International Marine Terminal has really changed, I think, the future for Maine in many ways economically. And then also I think it's sort of helping us to rethink of ourselves as being in the center of something versus being at the end of the line.
That's a really interesting observation. I mean, I think people who, you know, people from Maine who go back and look at our history in Maine, you kind of realize that the coast of Maine was once, as you say, in the middle of everything. I mean, mm-hmm. this is where people arrived from Europe. It's, you know, where things got shipped out to China and back and forth and so on and so forth. And so it gave Maine in, if you will, you know, if we want to go back to, say, 1820, you know, or something, Maine actually had a very cosmopolitan thing going relative to a lot of other places because of oceanic trade. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of ways, I think you're right that what's happening now in Portland is almost a return to that.
Definitely, definitely. And I think, you know, a lot of these efforts, it's multifaceted in terms of the different organizations that are coming together to make this happen. You have folks at the terminal. You have folks at the Maine North Atlantic Development Office. You have the Maine Port Authority. And all of these folks are very instrumental to creating this new situation for the Port of Portland. And, you know, my fascination with these ships really originates with Iceland because of Aimskip, seeing those containers in two places and seeing them back here in Portland. But from there, really, this love of transportation and shipping and what that means is really blossomed from just from that sort of initial exploration. So now, you know, thinking about ships, thinking about how things get from point A to point B is just really part of how I'm making work today.
Yeah. Start to tell us. Yeah, that's funny. You asked before the show, should we close the window? And me, I'm going, yeah, it'll be fine. Now I'm sitting here going, God, there's noise in the background. So it's just us here in the studio trying to keep from dying from lack of oxygen and heat deprivation. Start to talk about your unique use of a shipping container that mm-hmm. will be in Congress Square Park, right?
That's right. So from September 27th until October 12th, I'll be having a cumulative exhibition in Congress Square Park, and that will be a multimedia exhibition, including photos and sound pieces that were recorded on the ship. And that is going to be, you know, just this sort of capstone to this experience before, you know, I start thinking about, you know, something else, I guess. But just really trying to show Portland and show Maine through this experience, you know, what does the vessel look like, and sort of bring something that is often invisible to most folks, visible into their, you know, for a time anyway, a sort of consistent visual, you know, seeing that all the time. But the other great part about it is that we've timed it to coincide with the 2016 Arctic Council Senior Arctic Officials meeting, which is being hosted by the Maine North Atlantic Development Office. So you're going to have lots of folks with vested interests from all sorts of countries coming here to talk about Arctic issues as it pertains to different initiatives that they have. And Maine is going to get to be a big part of that conversation.
Well, and that's a fascinating I mean, you know, I find myself really, really interested in that whole thing, in that the odd way that various things intersect. With global warming,
mm-hmm.
we have the diminishment of the Arctic ice shelf. Because we have the diminishment of the Arctic ice, we have actually opened up the Northern Passage, so that suddenly, you know, the length of time, the amount of time that ships can transit from the Pacific and go over, you know,
right.
north of Canada and cut across,
right.
As opposed to, you know, other options, is happening. So
we're not quite there yet. I mean, I think it's something that might be coming.
But
looking forward.
I guess what I'm saying is that is creating a degree of interest in and urgency to this, the Arctic Council.
Right, right.
Which are those nations, Russia, Norway, mm-hmm. Iceland, U.S., Canada.
Faroe, Greenland.
Yeah. That will be impacted by that. And it's great that it's happening in Portland.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it just is a really great opportunity for Maine to solidify our position in this conversation. You know, generally, it's been in Alaska, and, you know, the host community in Maine has really, you know, learned a lot from what's going on in Alaska. And it's been, I think, a nice, there's some nice energy here to sort of see this new opportunity that's going to be potentially, you know, for Maine. And or it's actually not even potential. You're seeing it happening, I think, you know, right in front of our eyes, really.
It really is. It's been, it's funny, we lived in South Portland for a long time, and it was interesting to see that, and that West Commercial, you know, the industrial end mm-hmm. of the waterfront, when it was nothing much is happening. Oh, you know, now a bunch is happening, and we've got the crane and so on came in, and it was Hap Lloyd, I mm-hmm. believe, was the kind of containers we saw most of the time,
right.
coming in and out,
mm-hmm.
And then it languished for a while, and then
Right now at the Portland Public Library, there's actually an exhibition by the Maine Maritime Museum, and it's sort of as a history of the Port of Portland. And I was fortunate, Chris Hall up there asked me if I would show some of the work from the Iceland by 207 series. So that's actually on view there until January.
At Maine Maritime Museum.
At the Portland Public Library.
Oh, at the Portland Public Library. Okay.
But it was great for me to go through it, and I sort of learned a few things myself. And that, you know, some folks, there was actually other companies that tried to make, Portland their headquarters, but didn't work well down the Port of Portland at IMT. And it really, I think, took a special kind of relationship with a special kind of steamship company like Aimskip to really make this happen. So, you know, for me, it's all about asking different kinds of questions at the intersection of culture, art, and commerce. And what does this mean for Maine? And, you know, as an artist looking at the situation, you know, I can ask different kinds of questions than some of the other parties involved. You know, for instance, you know, how do we reconcile, Maine economic development with the potential melting Arctic ice? And, you know, those questions I'm not giving answers to one way or the other, but how do we frame an awareness just in general of these issues that are happening
sure.
there, and that there's lots of potential. It's very exciting for Maine. There's issues and factors we need to consider as part of this process, and everyone, all the parties that I interact with seem to be really aware of these issues as well, and
uh-huh.
invested in approaching them and having conversations about them. So it's been a welcome, initially I was kind of surprised because I almost imagined it sort of being an impenetrable industry of shipping. Like
uh-huh.
you can't really
uh-huh.
get in there or talk to folks, but everyone and this experience has been, really engaged in participating.
They seem, I mean, the company itself, if you're just tuning in, by the way, it is Tuesday Night Talk Radio Club here at WMPG, And I'm Chris White, and I'm talking to Justin Levesque about his Iceland by 207 project that's been kind of ongoing in various guises and with bits and pieces showing up in various places, and the newest iteration or opportunity to see and partake of this will be a shipping container that is going to appear in Congress Square Park. When does it appear?
September 27th through October 12th, and then the opening will be September 30th at 6 o'clock, open to the public and free.
So a month, you people will have forgotten this entirely, but you know what's going to happen. A month and a half from now, you're going to drive down Congress Street, you're going to pass Congress Square Park and go, oh, that's what they were talking about a month ago. I remember now. Anyway.
Well, it's been really fun to follow the threads of how this company and just how this development has really impacted, you know, different areas of Maine. You know, so that's sort of where I'm at now is sort of following the threads. So, for instance, you know, one of the big players in this conversation is the University of Southern Maine. Right now, they're doing a program with the Honors Program where they're sending students over there in the upcoming year. There's all this exchange that's happening. And they had a exploratory kind of meeting with all of the different parties involved that I got to participate in. And, you know, it's not stopping at the waterfront, which is really neat.
And a lot of that does, correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of that does seem to be coming out of IMSCIP themselves, right? They seem to be fairly proactive.
Yeah, I think that they understand the benefit of interacting with the community, but I think it's just creating a landscape or an environment in which these parties can interact. And, you know, I think you can look to a somewhat more integrated Scandinavian model of the way that you build up both sort of sides of arts, culture, and business at the same time is sort of what I'm witnessing.
Oh, you radical weirdo, you.
I know.
what a strange concept. You mean they all actually can function together?
Correct.
It isn't a zero-sum game?
Right.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, sorry. Smack! Stop that. Don't be that.
Well, and it's been really great because I'm a USM alumni, so I found a lot of support from the university as well. So in actually a couple of days, I'll be installing a couple of installations on campus with the USM Digital Humanities Program that's funded through the MAIF grant, which is sort of also spearheading a lot of these different initiatives. And I'll have an installation at the Glickman Library in the first floor arcade, and then some work in Abramson Center.
So right next door,
and
right down the street.
Yeah, I'll be putting that up on Friday. So
there we go. So, you know, we've got USM and then the Abramson Center, which will have part of the exhibition, and then there's... I guess it's the Muskie Center in between, and then the Glickman Library down at the corner. So you're going to be up and down the block.
Yeah, I'm going to create like a little walking tour, I think.
There we go.
Three exhibitions in one season. A lot of work.
Yeah. You mentioned something about audio.
Mm-hmm.
Was that more podcast, as a result of the podcast and just kind of documenting what you were doing, or what did you get involved in something more esoterically aesthetic?
So when I was on the ship, I made a podcast episode for each day I was on there that features interviews with the crew and sounds from around and sort of my general observations on the experience. And that's available online at IcelandX207.com. So you can listen to those episodes. But I still have all this footage from things that didn't make it. And so what I'm going to do is that you'll be able to dial in, actually, on your phone and click some prompts. And you can listen to different parts of the recordings in the container. So it'll be a somewhat, you know, I want it to be somewhat interactive in that component.
Uh-huh.
And it also is something that you could do later if you wanted to. Yeah.
So, if you wrote down the numbers while you're in the container, you could call later?
They have like these little cards that we pass out that'll have a phone number that you can call. There's a series of images that you will actually have a number prompt, and you'll enter in that number, and you'll hear a 2 to 3 minute recording. Mm-hmm. And so they actually go with all of the formal portraits. So each number that you call in will that you put in would give you like a 2 to 3 minute clip of the person's portrait that you're looking at. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Yeah. So you'll get to
Hear their voice.
Would these be interviews with you interacting with them, or is it pretty much edited in a way that you're going to hear them?
This will be slightly more narrative of them just sort of speaking. It'll be less about me, and it'll just sort of be like a 2 to 3 minute segment relating some kind of story, potentially about their lives or about an area of the ship that they're working on or some kind of maritime fact maybe.
Well, that's all very fascinating. It's very, and I love the, I'm sort of, cargo containers, just, they've been around for long enough that we've now seen, there are people that turn them into houses, mm-hmm. and there are, people that do this with them and that with them, and all these different uses to which a repurposed cargo container, or even a cargo container that hasn't been dramatically repurposed, can be used. And the idea of having one as a portable exhibition mm-hmm. space, I'm going, yeah, that's not bad. That's not a bad scale for a little gallery. I mean, the joke was always that the gallery model that a lot of people have in their head really is the white shoebox,
Right.
Put up some white walls inside a cargo container, you got the ultimate white shoebox.
Well, it was really important, that it would be interactive to the community, super accessible. And so part of how I'm able to do this was that I'm actually a recipient of the Kindling Fund through Space Gallery. So that's how I've been able to, fund the project. I also, got a Maine Arts Commission to start the project grant from them at the beginning. So it's been nice to sort of be participating independently in this way and getting these connections. I'm so thankful to Space Gallery for the Kindling Fund because it really allowed me to do the project. But, shipping container galleries aren't necessarily anything new. They've been done.
Right. Exactly. Lots of.
I mean, if anything, I've actually kind of created a little online friendship with a bunch of different people who have them and getting tips about, what to avoid and that whole thing. But, for this exhibition, it really does make sense to go this route and to show it in this way. And, I just think it sort of works.
I think, in this case, the container itself is the big cool object for the exhibition. That it's not in a very big way. It seems to me that it's not just the venue for the exhibition or a clever mm-hmm. place to hold the exhibition. It's the big object that serves in a way as a reminder, we are connected mm-hmm. very literally through Eimskip and their cargo containers to Europe.
Well, I think the metaphor is kind of direct, in terms of, when you look at a container, you don't necessarily know what's in there, and you really wouldn't be privy to know what's in there because, businesses, privacy and that stuff. So to kind of use that metaphor in terms of the opaqueness of the industry of shipping in general, and then what's inside of it is actually revealing this industry, it sort of, I think also lends itself to making it the choice that I had to make to show the work in there.
Yeah. So we've got, where are we? We've got about 6 minutes left. So let's review. sooner rather than later, is here at the USM?
Correct. So,
and current is Portland Public Library?
Correct.
And coming right up is Congress Square with a container.
You got it.
Okay. I'm staying with you. Are you with us at home there, audience?
There's lots of other things to consider when you run your own gallery, quote unquote. You
know, aren't there, though?
You have to apply to the city and get a permit and have to have insurance and lighting.
All kinds of stuff.
Yeah, so normally if you're working with a gallery, you might have some of that stuff taken care of. But it's, at this point it feels like 40% making the work, a little 60% admin and making all the things come together.
Oh boy, are you doing well? If you're only at 60% for the other, we don't have a bleeper, so I can't really say what the other is. But I think the funny thing is I believe that it is true for 99% of artists, whether they create plastic arts, whether they create paintings and sculpture, whether they create performing arts, music, dance, whether they are somewhere in the middle, doing film and audio and so on, at least 90% of the time is spent doing business,
right?
Doing stupid things, dealing with logistics.
Well, my favorite part is that, you know, I think initially I started this part, the project very independently, but because of the nature of the work and all the different entities I sort of have to involve with, I really feel like I've sort of, you know, organically grown a little bit of a team that's been sort of helping out me out and supporting me through this process, you know. So I'm just so thankful, you know, especially to, you know, Jan Pirabek at USM and all the folks down at the IMT, at the International Marine Terminal, like Chris Carey and Patrick Arnold and Hilder, hey guys, and, you know, Dana Einsness at the Maine North Atlantic Development Office. I mean, there's just so many different folks that have been really just super helpful. Brie LaCase at the Congress Square Park, you know, helping me get in that spot. It's been a real somewhat community effort in terms of as I, you know, have to interact.
You know,
with these
this
folks.
Isn't an award show. If you keep it up, now
well,
you know
I am
when
just
you
grateful.
When you start talking about God and your mom, you know, we're just going to have to bring up the theme.
Just
music,
giving credit where credit's due.
Now, another important thing to point out, though, is how much art by an individual artist, in this case Justin Levesque, is the result of a lot of teamwork, a lot of people, you know, whether it is in the production of the art itself in one way, manner, shape, or form, whether it's the grant that enables you to do it, or the permission to spend the time on the ship, or the participation of other, you know, the people that you're impinging upon, you know.
Well, many artists function like silos, and that might work for them. But my process, and I say all that stuff because it really actually is pretty integral to my process, is how I, you know, work with these different folks in a sort of community sense to make something come together. So, you know, I think we last time said, you know, Christo, you know, that kind of reference to the process and, you know, going down to the, you know, city hall to get the permit for me was very much part of making the work, you know.
Were you here before, or you were here before his last one in Italy, right? Which got all sorts of controversial because, oh my God, people were actually coming. Right. And they were coming in such vast numbers that the people who thought, it's damn art, nobody's going to show up for this, were overwhelmed by people showing up.
Well, I hope I have that same problem a little bit.
wouldn't that be a nice... That's the kind of problem.
Although I'd like to avoid controversy, so I'm hoping it's a smooth show, you know.
You you don't want the wrong kind of controversy. Okay, 1 minute left. What kind of Facebook or web address or whatever might help?
Yeah, so it's IcelandX207.com. That's the main website. You can find most information there. IcelandX207.com/Greenline is the podcast. Instagram @IcelandX207.